And a very good afternoon. If you're a fan of the Rams and your prevent offense, you now have a new quarterback, Jared Goff. I mean, hey, the thinking is it can't get any worse. It can't get any worse. So let's just say that Jared Goff doesn't score any points. It's really not that much worse than what we've seen the last 3 weeks. It's hard to believe. Did you know the Rams have had three games this year without an offensive touchdown?
Yeah,
think about that for a minute.
They beat my Seahawks in one of them.
Yeah, so, right? 9-6.
Prevent offense?
Yeah, the prevent offense.
Prevent the number one pick from being on the freaking field.
It's what the Kings had when Dick Motta was here. We called it the prevent offense. 73 at Miami, 73 at Orlando, 59 at Charlotte when they were expansion teams. We go, hey, welcome to Dick Motta's prevent offense.
Goodness gracious.
No, man. I'm not kidding you. I call the Rams their prevent offense.
Hey, I don't even know what they're doing down there in Los Angeles. What's the point of bringing the kid along slowly? Can you explain to me? Well, maybe, you know what? Charles Davis is going to come on with us at 5:05, and maybe he can explain something.
Yeah, we are looking forward to having Charles Davis. And guess what? The coach of the Kings is going to be coming on at 4:05. Dave Yeager will be coming on with us at 4:05 to talk about everything that is going on. A couple of days off for Sacramento. I was just out at the practice facility, and I was – you know, again, they're ready to go. They're rejuvenated, hopefully re-energized, and they better be. Boy, they got a tough five-game stretch. So we got a lot to talk about. Again, we got Jared Goff, who's going to be making his first start Sunday against Miami. The good news about playing at Miami, there's no crowd noise down there. So you don't have to worry about silent counts or anything like that. I could go play quarterback in Miami, and at least my receivers that are spread wide to the right and wide to the left would be able to hear me. Because the Dolphin fans, if they show up, again, if they show up.
Dolphins or South Beach.
They're not going to be making, there's no noise. So.
Well, the only thing he has, in Dominican Sue, be careful. Ingratiate him right into the NFL. Welcome, young fella.
Absolutely.
Pretzel style.
But again, how worse could it be?
Yeah. Hey, well, I just said,
you know, Charles Davis did the game in New York on Sunday with the Rams and the Jets. And the first thing I want to know from Charles is if did he nod off a little bit.
No, actually, which is kind of weird. I listened to, because I like listening to Charles.
He's great.
Yes, he is. So I listened to a bit of it. And as I'm watching, I'm going, man, this is 9-6. This is just what I saw, and it's disgusting, man. I don't – the Rams just – they don't do it. And that is the reason why I wouldn't have waited this long to put Goff out there. Let's see what the kid can do. You're going to improve that much in 14 days? I mean, since 2 weeks ago? Really? Huh? Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, Grant. Those people down, they don't know what they're doing with the Rams, man.
Unbelievable. All right, 339-1140, 800-920- 1140 again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. In other news in the NBA, LeBron James is having a feud with Phil Jackson now.
Yes, I did see that. Phil, you know,
what did Phil do? He referred to LeBron's
posse.
Business partners as a posse.
Yes.
And so what does that mean? Like, another, we used to kid Mike Bibby, Team Dime, right?
Right.
When Mike Bibby played here, his posse was called Team Dime. And it was legitimate posse in the sense that I know posse. It was his guys.
Yeah.
They even had a nickname for him. And they were everywhere. You know that. They were everywhere.
Yes, they were. Well, from this standpoint, I will say that could LeBron maybe be a little sensitive here? Maybe.
Yeah,
but the point is, LeBron has done a extremely good job of taking and elevating the people who surround him to an entirely different level. They are businessmen, and I think that with winning championships and the way that he's done things, he wants to be referred to in a certain manner. And I would say this, Phil Jackson might want to tend to the Knicks. I'm just saying, Grant.
All right, so I want to read an excerpt from a story that Phil Jackson did with ESPN's Jackie McMullen.
Yes.
All right, I want to read this. This is what LeBron got upset about. Quote, now this is Phil Jackson. It had to hurt, he's talking about Miami, when they lost LeBron. That was definitely a slap in the face, but there were a lot of little things that came out of that. When LeBron was playing with the Heat, they went to Cleveland, and he wanted to spend the night. They don't do overnights. Teams just don't. So now Coach Spoelstra has to text Riley and say, what do I do in this situation? And Pat, who has iron fist rules, answers, you are on the plane. You are with this team. You can't hold up the whole team because you and your mom and your posse want to spend an extra night in Cleveland. So, now, is that bad?
Well, so Pat Riley speaking on the first part, that last part, the quote about you can't hold it up with your posse and all that, that is Phil Jackson speaking.
Yes, that's Phil Jackson.
Yeah. My thing is, stay within your own damn fence. Why are you over here commenting on what LeBron's doing
with Miami? I know. I think it's none of your business.
Exactly. Right. That's what I get from it. Maybe is LeBron, like I said, a little bit sensitive about that. Yeah, but at the same time, he wants to he's built something and he wants to it referred to in a certain way. Would Phil Jackson refer to other people in that manner, a posse and
all
different
right.
things?
Well, LeBron James business associate Maverick Carter said this. Quote, it's the word posse and the characterization I take offense to. If he would have said LeBron and his agent, LeBron and his business partners, or LeBron and his friends, that's one thing. Yet because you're young and black, he can use the word, we're grown men. First of all, I'm sorry. I don't see how race in any way, shape, or form has to enter into this. This is not a race thing. I don't think that the word posse is, you know, in any way, shape, or form used in a racial tone. That's my opinion. So I think that they're being a little oversensitive
and
to
that's
this.
Where I said maybe the sensitivity part is. So from that standpoint, when you listen to that, he's referring to him as a because when you come in and you're young, a lot of times you'll have hangers on and a lot of different that. He sounds like he's referring to LeBron and his the people who surround him as young and don't know what the heck they're doing and all these things.
And then, you know, LeBron said, we see the success that we have, but then there is always someone that lets you know still how far we still have to go as African-Americans. Oh, my God. Stop it. Would you please? Quote. All right, if you go and read the definition of what the word posse is, it's not what I've built over my career. It's not what I stand for. It's not what my family stands for. I believe the only reason he used the word is because he sees young African-Americans trying to make a difference. Listen, I mean, really? I mean, because Phil Jackson uses the term posse, we got to go here. I mean, are we not getting a little carried away with this?
I think that's why I said he may be a little sensitive. My biggest thing is, Phil, mind your own business. You got a situation that you might want to look at with the New York Knicks, and you are getting paid heavily. Yep. Pay attention to that, Grant.
All right, and I made a mistake. The game is not Miami. It's in L.A. I think that there would be – I think he'd have better success if the game were in Miami because I think it would be quieter than it would be at the Coliseum in L.A., but I'll leave that for another conversation. All right, so I want to get back to this. The Knicks stink, all right?
True.
All right, they've been really bad because – the Knicks and James Dolan, who's the worst owner in sports, hired Phil Jackson.
True.
Okay? And Phil was a coach that had great success, who also had the best players in the league on his team.
Very true.
I don't want to take anything away from him. However, I think there are a lot of coaches that could have won with Michael and Scotty and a lot of coaches that could have won with Shaq and Kobe. But you know what? He had him, and he won. It's like the argument that I always have with people when they call, well, gee, Joe Montana wouldn't have been so good if he didn't have Jerry Rice. Well, guess what? He had Jerry Rice, so you can't take it away from him. The Knicks are 4-6.
Ooh.
Okay?
Yeah.
They went out and got a lot of talent in the offseason, right?
Supposedly.
They went out and spent a lot of money.
There you go. Say it, Grant.
All right? And so... I mean, I think you make a fabulous point. Hey, Phil, worry about your own house. Don't worry about your next-door neighbor's house. Worry about what's going on in your house.
Yeah, because your next-door neighbor house looks real good, and it's got a lot going on. I understand that, and you want to comment on it with everyone. But you got a lot that you need to focus on there. So why is that all of a sudden a topic? I don't know. Maybe a little sensitivity from LeBron, but at the same time, it's understandable because of kind of all that's going on right now in our country at the same time there, Grant.
All right. I understand that, too. Everyone's very sensitive. And then, of course, you had, you know, what happened with Mike Evans down in Tampa. And I mean, listen, I got to tell you, and I really mean this, okay? If I were going to sit and not stand for the national anthem, okay, if I were going to do that, and I'm just saying if,
right,
I would never do that. But if I did, okay, the second that the anthem finished, I would not grab a baseball cap, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers baseball cap, and put it on my head, and on the side of the cap is an American flag. Okay? I would not sit for the national anthem, not respect the flag, and then put on a hat that has the American flag on the side of it. Now, in all fairness, Evans came out and apologized, okay, and said he was wrong and, you know, blah, 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 and said that, you know, he will stand for the national anthem. He said, I want to start by apologizing to all the U.S. military members, their families, and the fans who I offended by my actions on Sunday. It was never my intention, as I have tremendous respect for the men and women who serve our country, blah, 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 blah. All right? Then he said, with all that being said, I will not sit again during the national anthem because I want to focus my efforts on finding more effective ways to communicate my message, blah, blah, blah. And again, you don't stand for the national anthem, and the second that the anthem is over, you grab a hat, put it on your head, and the side of the hat has the American flag on it.
I mean, please, come on. Yeah, well, I would say touche with that. I would say as people, Grant, right now, there are some things. Everyone's figuring out how to voice their opinions and their displeasures. So we're going to see things that we're seeing things that we've never seen before. Correct. And experiencing them. And we're going to have to learn how to deal with all of that.
And there's no doubt we are going to have to start learning how to deal with all of that, because regardless of whether you voted for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, the one thing I think that we can all say, regardless of who you voted for, this is a very divided country.
Oh, yes, it
is. The vote was basically 50-50.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So we're talking about half the country wanted one candidate and the other half wanted this candidate. And because of that, you now have quite a division in this country. Now, I'm not getting off on politics. I'm trying to keep this. Mike Evans was protesting over the fact that Donald Trump was elected president. And, you know, I don't understand that. I don't understand why you don't stand for the national anthem because the person you wanted to be president didn't win. I don't understand that. But he did apologize. He said he will stand with his Bucks teammates.
Oh boy.
Right?
Yes. I look over there at you sometimes and I just laugh, man. You're a piece of work, man.
No, I just, to me, there's just so many things that go on in society where there's an automatic rush to judgment. And I think that in this Phil Jackson and LeBron thing, I personally feel that someone had their feelings hurt over the word posse. And I just have a really difficult time thinking that when Phil was in the middle of doing this interview, that he wanted to use a term that was going to offend LeBron with some racial overtones to it. I'm sorry.
I will say this, though. As you say that, Grant, I sit here and I think, Phil Jackson is that kind of guy. He's a thoughtful guy in that way. He uses his words and his things very carefully in the things that he says.
He's very calculated.
Yes, he is. So nothing comes out of his mouth, I wouldn't think. And we experienced that here in Sacramento. Yep. Because he said many, many things.
Cowtown,
exactly.
Everything. But you don't really think that he meant to offend someone racially, do you? Come on.
I don't know. I would hope not. And that's why I said
it could
be a little.
Did you not go by someone's track record? He's now, what, 70 years old or 60 in his upper 60s or whatever? Would you not think that a man's track record would take over a word posse, which I'm flabbergasted that anyone would have an issue and try to make it into a racial issue. I don't understand that.
You know, it could have probably even been a more issue racially if LeBron hadn't talked about the dictionary definition. Because to be honest with you, that definition outside of the dictionary nowadays in the NBA and the NFL and all of those things, the posse kind of like you were talking about Mike's posse. And
yeah, he had a nickname for it, Team
exactly.
Dime.
So I can understand, but he specifically spoke to the dictionary, so it kind of takes that away, because if you really look at the dictionary definition, it doesn't really.
I don't even know what the definition would be if I went to Webster's and looked it up right now.
Shall we?
Go ahead.
We gotta, shall.
So, all right, so we'll talk about that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140 again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Monday Night Football. If you're a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, same old story with a team that you know, they haven't won a playoff game under Marvin Lewis. And last night they had to win a game. Now they're 3-5-1, and they're pretty much done. You got a diction? You got a definition for me of the word posse? Go ahead.
Posse, a group of people who were gathered together by a sheriff in the past to help search for a criminal, or a group of people who are gathered for a particular purpose, or a group of friends, or a large group often with a common interest, or a body of persons summoned by a sheriff to assist in public peace in an emergency, or a group of people temporarily organized to help with a search. Lastly, entourage.
Entourage. There you go.
Okay. So that's where I said that there could have been a little bit of sensitivity to that point, but Phil Jackson, he likes to push buttons, and he obviously has said things about LeBron, and he pushed some buttons, and the king roared. You know, it is 3:18. Time to call Sierra Pacific for your $86 heating system tune-up. Call 800-551-3040. Yes, Grant.
Unbelievable. Somebody wants to know that Hillary got a million more votes than Trump, but lost the delegates. Let me tell you something to the texter.
I just want to know your take on that.
My take on that is to the texter. Duh.
No,
that's my first take.
I don't mean that. I mean, you know, electoral.
I'll tell you what my take on it is. It's like playing a game where everyone knows the rules before the game starts, and because of something that happened at the end of the game, you want to change one of the rules because you realized after playing the game that it's just an absolutely asinine, stupid rule. But the rule wasn't changed before the game started. And you played the game knowing full well what the rules were. And so at the end of the game, you accept that because you started the game knowing full well that that's how the rules were written. So in this case, okay, for the election that we just had, everyone knew what the rules were. Everyone knew that it was the Electoral College. There were no mysteries into that. We've had this controversy in the past in this country. Mm-hmm. I personally, if I had a magic wand and I could fix it, I would have never had the Electoral College in my lifetime.
Who wins, wins.
That's right. You get 50 plus, you know, percent of the votes. You win whatever you ran for. Okay.
Makes sense to me.
In a democratic society, if you're going to have a vote, regardless whether you're voting for, you know, who's going to be, the captain of your football team or the basketball team. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When you played basketball in college at Pepperdine, did they vote to see who was going to be the captain or did the coach appoint it?
The coach appointed.
Okay. Did you ever play in a sport where the players?
Yes.
Okay.
High school.
All right. Was it not just whoever had the most votes would be the captain?
No doubt. I've right? never known it any other way.
Okay, so my point is you're starting whoever your best player on the team was. Let's say it was you.
Yes, it was,
okay.
By the way.
All right, so you voted for player A, and some other players voted for player B, and the player you voted for was one short. They didn't count your vote two or three times, right?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Not. Yes.
And, well, so that's the point I'm trying to make in all of this. The rules are the rules. It's set up the way it's set up. If you want to change it, when I mean you, I mean our society, then change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't complain about after it's over.
Not when you sign up for what you signed up for.
Absolutely.
You cannot do that. Now, should it just be you vote and who wins?
I think so.
I think so too.
And I think, you know what's the scary thing is? I think the majority of people in this country feel that too. And yet we have an out-of-date, antiquated system, and it doesn't make any sense to me. And I also, not to go on a tangent here, but if you live in a state like California, okay, and you know that it's a lopsided red-blue state, you know what? It probably is, to a degree, diminishing your kind of like moxie to go out and vote because you're like, well, gee, I have no chance if I'm voting for a Republican because you know what I mean? So I think you'd have a lot more people vote across the United States if you just went by a popular vote.
I agree. And if it was a popular vote, because I think it was electoral when I was the captain, I was voted captain. I probably wouldn't.
You were the
won.
Only one to vote for us. Yeah. Doug Christie got one vote. It was from Doug, but since he was the best player.
I would, baby. captain. Everybody.
You know what we used to do in our lacrosse teams? We used to write down, and we, you know, with the old style, you know, take a little piece of paper out.
Write your name,
crumple it up, and put it in the hat.
Count them out.
You know what the coach did? He did it right in front of everybody.
Oof.
So he dumped it out in front of them, and he had it right there so that people knew, and he would go, okay, John, Grant, Bill, you know, I mean, like, So everyone knew that it really was the players that decided the captain.
And when it came down to that last vote, let me see that one. Oh, that's Grant's handwriting. I knew you, traitor. Grant, you traded on me.
You can't read my handwriting.
Doctor.
Can't read it.
Dr. Grant.
All right. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140. And 800-920-1140. See what I started? No, Grant, a majority don't feel that way. Well, first of all, I don't care. It's a sports show. We were talking about, you know, some issues
we
in
got
the
off
sports
topic,
world,
though.
And we got off topic a little bit. I don't even care whether you agree with me or disagree with me, because I don't care. Because you know what? I'm not dealing with it. I don't care. If you agree with me on the electoral vote or disagree, I don't care. I'm one man's opinion. I don't run the country. I'm not going to make a change. I have nothing to do with the change. I don't care.
But I have a lot of votes because I'm one person, and when I vote, Grant, you know.
Well, I think your wife's got a lot more power than you and I do for her vote.
Star as well.
You know, well, yeah. But, I mean, really, you know, I think Jackie Christie's probably going to gain more attention from something she says than you and I.
I would say you're probably right there,
and
Grant.
I don't know if it's all good.
No, but
know?
It is.
You told
it,
me, you know, yes, I mean, there's some wackos out there.
There are
I'm a little
some,
worried about that.
It's okay. It's the way of the world, my friend.
All right. All right, so here's what we got coming up, all right? I want to remind everybody at 401, Dave Yeager is going to be with us. 503, Charles Davis, NFL on Fox. So looking forward to that. Can't wait to get it started. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. We'll talk more about the hot topics of the day. And you tell us, should the Rams be starting Jared Goff? Should have they already started him a couple of weeks ago? What are your thoughts on that right here on Sports 1140 KHDK? Grant Napier, Doug Christie, Jared Goff is going to make his debut this week against the Miami Dolphins in L.A., by the way. I was mistaken by that. I apologize. I shouldn't be getting that wrong. But Jared Goff will be at quarterback.
It's too soft, Grant.
What's too soft?
They want him. Do you know why I read why they say they're starting him?
I know why they're starting him.
He's at home.
Well.
In front of the home crowd. That's what I mean.
They're starting him because their prevent offense, okay, has a quarterback that's not very good. That's number one.
Case Keenum?
That's true. They've had three games without an offensive touchdown. That's number one, okay? Number two, the Rams are 4-5. And although they could conceivably make a run and make the playoffs, their future is not now. Their future is the future. And they need to start getting Jared Goff work and let him grow up and figure out what it takes to be an NFL quarterback so that when they start next year and the following year, he's much further along.
What do you think about some type of developmental league for the NFL?
I don't think it would work. I don't think so. You know, the World League in Europe was supposed to be that. It failed.
Nothing you can do.
I don't think so. You know, the Arena League's not a developmental league, even though a lot of NFL owners own arena teams. The game is night and day different. Again, that's what the league in Europe was supposed to be for, and that thing faltered. So, no, I don't see it.
It's just tough because watching him week one, he didn't even have an earpiece in, Grant. He didn't have an earpiece. The earpiece.
He was in street clothes.
Yes, he was. But he wasn't even tuned in. So what does that say? You know what tuning in does? It gives you terminology. If you can start under, if that is part of the problem, let him hear what the heck is going on. I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me. Who am I?
All right, we're going to talk more about this with Charles Davis coming up at 5:03 because he just did the Rams and the Jets. So we'll talk with Charles coming up at 5:03. The head coach of the Kings, Dave Yeager, coming up at 4:01. Stanley, what's going on? Stanley.
Yes.
What's
yes,
going on?
You know what's going on, Grant. I'm here to remind you there is some good news. I mean, we've had the election and everything. The country is divided. But you know, Grant, I woke up yesterday morning, and I looked up there at the newspaper that said NFL standings. And guess who was at the top, Grant?
Guess what? They don't hand out trophies in November, you moron. All right, the New England Patriots were 16-0 a couple of years ago. How did that work out for them? That's right. Yeah. They lost to a team called the New York Football Giants. You better worry about winning the freaking division first, not whether or not your team's in first place before Thanksgiving.
Grant, I can't wait till next month. I can't wait till the second weekend in December.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You people have put a blemish on our... And guess what?
Yeah.
We're going to put a bruising on your behind.
Yeah, you better worry about winning the division instead of just winning that game. You better, because let me tell you something right now. The Giants are going to be 8-3 in 2 weeks because they play the Bears and the Browns, okay? And then you better just hope that the Cowboys win that game, because if not, they may not even win the division.
Okay, Grant, but weren't we supposed to be trash? Weren't we supposed to be
Well, yeah, because you don't have Tony Romo as your quarterback. If you had Tony Romo as your quarterback, the standings would look a hell of a lot different.
And by the way, how did we look the last time Tony Romo played a significant number of games? How did we look, Grant?
I don't know. I didn't see a standing in the Super Bowl. I didn't see the Cowboy fans buying Super Bowl. Oh, that's right. They didn't make it. Oh, you know what? They didn't even make it to the championship. Oh, that's right. They lost.
Yeah.
That's how
we did. No, we didn't lose, Grant. We had it taken from us. But that's okay, Grant.
Hey, let me tell you something. When it's fourth and two in a playoff game, you don't throw a 38-yard fade down the sideline because that's a low percentage play. All right. How about the interception he had before the half in that game where he completely misread the defense?
Grant, you don't get out there and be a referee when you don't even know what a catch is. Maybe you should look find out what
here's what I know. They lost.
What a catch is.
That's what I know. They lost.
Hey,
they
Grant,
lost.
Guess what? I'm looking forward to that sixth Super Bowl ring.
Yeah,
so
good. But you know what? I hope
face.
You live a long damn time, because you're going to need to live a long time to get that other ring. Hey, how are those Miami Hurricanes doing? Hey, how are those Miami Hurricanes doing?
Hey, we didn't get there. Well, I thought we were going to get, but you know
right.
what?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you think a lot of things that never come true.
We got a new coach, and we'll look
got a new coach.
That next
Let
year.
Me tell you something. You don't have squat. You don't have nothing.
Okay, Grant. I'll listen to you because you're the soothsayer, and you know all things.
Hey, here's Tony Romo today. Quote, Dak has earned the right to be our quarterback.
That's
yeah,
right,
something
Grant.
That Tony Romo hasn't been able to do.
Hey, Grant, you know something? Tony knows all about it. Not only is he a good sportsman, he understands this. How did he get the job from Drew Bledsoe? Because he got injured.
There you go.
How did Kurt Warner get his job? People got injured. We understand this.
Yeah, here's the difference between Kurt Warner and Tony Romo. Kurt Warner was the MVP in the Super Bowl. Tony Romo's never going to the Super Bowl. That's the big difference. Sorry, Doug. I had to handle Stanley there. I apologize.
That's entertainment. I enjoyed it. I first time on, I said, Stanley's awesome. You said, no, he's not. Hey, I love the exchange.
Stanley, you know.
Hey, he's,
you know what's
he's,
nice?
He's blind faith.
If the Giants beat the Cowboys, and that game's still 4 weeks away, so it's kind of stupid, but if, I won't hear from Stanley the rest of the year.
Well, you know, those Cowboys, they're going to have to maybe face up against those Seahawks. So we shall see.
You gotta make the playoffs first.
This is true, Grant Napier. We are not even at that point yet, but, Cowboys fans, they're feeling their oats right now. It's been a while, Grant. It's been a long while, and they are enjoying it.
All right. They should enjoy winning in January. That's when they should enjoy it, which they haven't done since Stanley was in grade school. All right, so let's not get carried away here. Unbelievable. Curtis, what's going on?
Hey, Grant, Doug, I just wanted to talk about, Phil Jackson's comments. I hear white athletes' friends refer to as posse all the time. I mean, it's political correctness. It's just LeBron being way too sensitive. But as far as the Electoral College, it's brilliant if you look at how it's designed.
You know what? I don't care. I don't care about the Electoral College. Don't care. I don't give a damn about the election. I don't care about the Electoral College. I don't care about the popular vote. I don't care. It's not what my show is about. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. I care about sports. That's what I care about. Don't care.
Tell him how you really feel.
I don't care. Michael, what's going on?
Grant, how you doing?
What's up, Michael?
Oh, just want to talk about Danny Fortz. No, I'm just teasing.
Oh, boy. haven't heard that name in a while.
Well, then you haven't heard Stanley in a while. What's up, Michael?
Yeah, I was just going to talk to you a little bit. I'm a big Rams fan. And, man, Grant, it is hard when you have a coach like Jeff Fisher who is so outdated and has had six winning seasons out of his 20 years of coaching. It's just not good enough. His style's outdated. He's outdated as a coach. Grant, I would trust any one of me, you, or Doug on the phone picking plays. He runs to the left. He runs to the right. I have Pickett every single week. He's running Todd Gurley into the ground. I watch him on TV every week, and they are awful, Grant. It's sad when your favorite team, you go to watch them, and you're like, oh, my God, they're so darn boring.
Yeah, what has happened to Gurley? He hasn't had a 100-yard game. As a matter of fact, he hasn't even run for, I think, 85 yards. 85,
Grant,
right? Wasn't it? I think it was against Tampa Bay earlier in the year.
3 yards per carry, Grant.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible. I mean, the last three games, he's had, what, 55, 50, and what, 65 against the Jets? I mean, come on now.
The problem is, Grant, every single play, I tell my wife, I tell my friend, I'm like, he's going to run it to the left, he's going to run it to the right, and third down, he's going to try to throw a crappy screen pass to Tavon Austin or Britt. They're just not good enough. It's not good enough football. It's not creative enough mind. And it's almost like I don't know how he keeps buying time and keeping his job because he's not good enough. This kid, let me get to Jared Goff. You draft a guy number one overall, trade a lot of picks for him. I mean, a lot they gave up for this kid. I see a couple games in the preseason starting him, bringing him along slow. Maybe Fisher thinks they made a mistake and they should have went Wentz. I don't care. You put him in, you give him a shot. Case Keenum is not going to get it done. He's just not going to.
No, he's not. He's not the future of your franchise. Right. Start looking to the future.
I agree with you very much. Anyway, Grant, I love listening to you and Stanley go back and forth, and I will chat with you later. Take care.
Hey, listen, it's not every day you get a nitwit to call your show.
You'd be nice to Stanley.
I am being nice. That's probably the nicest thing.
Nicer.
That's the nicest thing I've said to Stanley in over a year by calling him a nitwit. I'm being really nice to Stanley. I can't remember the last time I was that nice to Stanley.
I can't wait till Stanley calls back.
Yes, you can.
Yes, I can.
Unbelievable. Brian, what's going on?
Yeah, I was just going to talk about Wade a little bit, but I will address the Giants, man. As a Niners fan, I still like watching the Giants. Rashad Jennings, little guys, starting to turn it up a little bit. Stanley Shepard, you guys, I mean, you guys got a great team. I like Eli in the clutch. I think he's a late season kind of pick it up, get ready for the playoffs kind of quarterback. I like it, man. I like it.
All right, thanks. Well, we're having trouble hearing you. You know, the one thing about the Giants, they're a lot like Seattle in the sense that they have a really good defense. And when you have a really good defense, you can stay in games because of your defense. And the Giants' defense is much, much better than it's been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, when we talked yesterday, what I was saying is if the Giants could – how do you stop A.J. Green? I said if the Giants could get to the quarterback,
right,
because you're not going to stop him one-on-one, you're not going to bracket him in, you're not. The guy is just too good. But if the guy who's throwing it to him is on his back, that's what the Giants were able to do.
Yeah, no question. And I think that, you know, they gave the Giants defense gave Andy Dalton so many looks, he couldn't really figure out what was going on. You know, the biggest play of the game was the first play from scrimmage when they ran that trick formation and hit Eifert down the field for a huge gain.
And you had talked about the tight end.
Yeah,
and I started laughing to myself. Are you proud of that red hair of his? He looks like a Thundercat. Do you know what a Thundercat is?
No, what's a Thundercat?
It's an old cartoon. You should look it up. Andy Dalton.
Thundercat?
He looks like a Thundercat.
Is that right?
That is exactly right. I figured that,
you know,
red hair, you'd be real proud.
He's got the same number of playoff wins as a Thundercat also. Zero.
I knew you were going to go someplace.
Thundercat got any playoff wins?
Let me think. No.
That's so he does have something in common with a Thundercat. Dalton, Thundercat, zero wins in the postseason. Don't forget, Dave Yeager's coming up at 4:01. We'll be talking to him about everything that's happened over the last couple days with the Kings. That's Dave Yeager at 4:01. We're having fun so far, right? You want to keep this going?
Oh man, this is why the fans are going to continue to tune in, because this is good stuff.
All right, so if you are a fan of that team down south, Jared Goff, too late? Okay, how do you feel about it? We'll be right back. Don't forget about the Kings and Spurs tomorrow. We'll get you right up to game night at 6, pregame at 7, all the action at 7:30. And speaking of the Kings, Dave Yeager is going to join us in about 15 minutes. He'll be on at 4:01. We'll talk with the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Dave Yeager. Ramiz, you're on with Grant and Doug. What's going on?
What's up, Grant? What's up, Doug?
Hey,
what's up?
Ramiz.
A couple of things. Hey, Grant, those Cowboys do look kind of good, though, right?
Yeah, they do look good. They look very good.
You got to give them a little credit.
I give them a lot of credit. They look very good, but they don't hand out trophies in November.
And this is for you, Doug. You know, I always call Grant, and I'm one of the biggest Boogie supporters. Man, I am so irritated, man, Doug, about hearing these DeMarcus Cousins trade rumors. Cousins doesn't want to go anywhere. We all know that. But where does this crap come from?
Who cares, Ramiz? Who cares where it comes from? If it's not true, what difference does it make?
Yeah, it's from a lot of people. You're going to hear so much of that, especially it's actually a compliment, because what it says is your guy is worth something. And because it's not coming from here, because if it was coming from here, we'd be shooting ourselves in the foot, because it would depreciate his trade value. But I just think that it's random people out there talking and wanting to say, because they don't have stories. DeMarcus is coming to the close of his contract. And, you know, it just causes speculation.
Because the thing is, Doug, I would be so pissed and devastated if my Kings did trade Boogie, but I know it's not going to happen. But, Grant, I think this crap is coming from Pete D'Alessandro. That's just my opinion.
You know what, Ramiz? I think that Pete's got more important things to worry about than whether or not DeMarcus Cousins is in the trade rumors. I don't, you know what, I do not care for Pete. He was the most incompetent front office person I've ever been around. But I don't think he's got anything to do with this. I really don't. Now, would it shock me if I found out that he did? No, it wouldn't shock me. But I Pete's got more important things to worry about.
Yes.
I know the system is kind of similar to Michael Malone. We've got to give it some time. You know, we got to get this defense and offense. I think that's what Omri's kind of upset, because, you know, we're changing the offense. But we've got to be patient, man. It's gonna happen. It's just, we just got to be patient. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate your support, Ramiz. I dig that.
I don't pay attention to rumors. And listen, you went through were traded a number of times.
Yes,
so
I
you
was.
Probably dealt with it. Listen, if you're a professional athlete, control what you can control.
That's it. And what can you control? Energy, effort, and enthusiasm, and your skill out there on the court and how hard you work.
You can control what you do in practice.
Yes.
You can control what you do when you put into the game.
Yes.
You can't control what somebody for this internet site says about you, or what Grant Napier says about you, or what, you know, Mark Stein of ESPN or anyone else. Okay, you can't control that, so don't worry about it. Don't try to control it, because you can't.
Yep, just go out there and ball out.
Yeah, I mean, really, control what you can control. And I've just, you know, again, people every year I've been doing the show, they want to talk to me about rumors. I go, how many times do the rumors come to fruition? Like,
yeah,
hardly ever.
If we were to go back and look, Grant, maybe 5%, maybe.
Well, look at this past year. Let's just go with this past year. Ben McLemore wasn't going to be on their team this year, right?
No, he's on the team.
Okay, Coach DeCoufos was not going to be on the team.
Yeah, he's on the team. Yeah.
Rudy Gay was not going to be on the team.
And he's on the team. And you always have the DeMarcus rumor, because he is the best player.
And he
is on the team.
Interesting.
Oh, boy.
Now, do I think the Kings are going to make some trades this year? Yes, I do. Okay? Do I think they're going to make them now? No, I don't. Okay? But I think they'll be making some moves. Vlade Divac understands with Dave Yeager, and I think this is so important. Dave working with Vlade. Vlade, you're working with Dave. Dave knows what the hell he's doing. Trust me on this. Mm-hmm. Dave Yeager knows what he's doing. He understands the type of player that he wants. He understands the type of player he needs to win with. He understands they are going to fix the roster so that Dave Yeager has a group of players that he can win with.
And Grant, more, that is very important. But even more importantly is the fact that Vlade and Coach Yeager are on the same page.
And they are.
They want the same thing. They want the same type of players. They want the same type of system. That is something that has not been here in quite some time, and that is exciting.
Gary, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're well, thank you.
Hey, my wife and I decided to see the tickets this year, and
awesome.
No one didn't have the product last year. I told her, hey, let's go enjoy the stadium or the arena, and it's been nothing but great.
You with us, Gary?
Well, I don't. So here's the process. Competitive. I mean, we could have won. Beat San Francisco that opening night. There's been multiple games. figuring out how to finish things up.
And that's the difference. And thank you. You're breaking up. I have to let you go. That's the difference between winning 45 games in a league and 35 or winning those type of games.
And this is what we tried to talk to the fans about early in the season when we were tempering our expectations. And I don't say tempering, but we were saying 41 would be good. These are the type of things that a young team, and I say young, I don't mean young as in we got a whole bunch of rookies. I mean young as you're newly put together, you're newly coached. There's a lot of stuff. You have to learn. How do you close these games? What is our package that we go to? What are we looking to get out of those moments? And first and foremost, Grant, you got to be in the moments. That means you got to be close enough in the game to try to close it, not getting your butt kicked. And that's something that we've experienced in the past.
Yeah.
Whereas the Kings might have gave up. They were within five, and then they get beat by 18. Well, now we're within five, and we're going to overtime.
Right.
You got to figure out how to close it.
All right. If you want to comment on that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Dave Yeager is going to be coming on at 401. So we'll talk to the coach of the Kings about how he's utilized these days of, I don't want to say off, they've been practicing, but how they get ready for a start of a brutal homestand. San Antonio, the Clippers, Toronto, Oklahoma City, Houston.
Man, I will tell you, Grant, it's, in my opinion, it's awesome because I've seen the Kings play to the level of their competition, and all of that competition right there is playoff competition. And it is 3:54, excuse me. Time to call Sierra Pacific for your $86 heating system tune-up. Call 800-551-3040.
So as I said, Dave Yeager coming up in 5 minutes, and then Charles Davis, NFL on Fox at 5:03. We'll have college football talk at 5:32. Is boy, what a topsy-turvy week we had in college football, and we'll get his take on who's in the driver's seat for the Final Four. And then Kirk Morrison, the former linebacker, many years with the Raiders, he's an analyst with the Rams, and so we'll talk with him about the decision to go with the young quarterback. Rick, Grant Napier and Doug Christie are with you.
Hey, Grant, Doug, how are you?
What's happening, Rick?
Hey, I just had a question. You know, the Raiders, you know, they've kind of been a surprise for everybody this year. You know, we kind of talked about them, you know, at the beginning of the season, Grant. I know we said, you know, it'd be good to see them go 9-7.
Yep.
And, you know, with that being said, what do you think about, you know, if they continue on this path and, you know, maybe they get in the first round of the playoffs or whatever, and you think they could be up for Coach of the Year as far as Jack?
Yeah, I think Jack will be a leading candidate for Coach of the Year. I'm going to caution Raider fans right now. You better worry about winning the division because Kansas City's in the driver's seat for winning the division, not the Raiders.
Yeah, I know that.
I mean, I don't mean to burst the bubble of the Raiders, but Kansas City's already won in Oakland, and they're going to get the Raiders on a short week in a couple of weeks, and both teams have the identical record. And so, you know, if Kansas City wins and then they're tied, well, we know who wins the tiebreaker. So, I like what the Raiders have done. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're a good team, but I don't want people to get carried away right now.
And looking back, Grant, at this weekend, this is going to – we're going to look back in Kansas City versus
– Denver.
Kansas City and in Denver. But
right.
Kansas City versus – who'd they play this last week?
They just beat Carolina.
And this is going to be an important – because both of those teams, they pulled off – just dramatic,
incredible
upset.
Games,
and it could have with the Raiders being off, they could have gained so much ground that they didn't gain.
That's right.
This is going to be a weekend to look back on.
All right, Dave Yeager coming up next. Thank you so much for the call, Dave Yeager, and the Dave Yeager Show. When we come back.